So we're going with the second one, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. This is it.
It's one of your choices, of course, yeah. As usual.
Well, naturally, it's my
choice. I get no fucking say in this shit, as usual.
Well, why should
you? Yeah, yeah. I know
Peter?
Nothing about music.
It's not about you. Yeah, it's about Omar.
Oh, it's about Omar, yeah. Okay, well.
That's true.
Unfortunately, he couldn't
as
make
usual.
It. Unfortunately, he couldn't
why?
Make it in this evening, so you're here in his place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that it's time to announce the show.
What show?
Ladies and gentlemen,
boys
Peter
and girls,
Omar show, starring,
well, starring Peter
and Omar.
Omar is here also.
Yeah. Well, anyway, tonight we have a special guest. I can't remember his
name. I don't think we. It's not really a special.
Special.
Guest. It's
not
some,
a special.
It's
guest.
Not really
it's
special.
Just a guest.
Nothing
okay.
very special about
is
it.
Am
all,
I a guest in your?
You are
this,
a
this
guest.
Wonderful
yeah.
lounge. This
you,
wonderful
you can,
lounge.
You can speak when we address you. There's no need to talk getting on the microphone.
Well, he's
already,
actually
okay?
jumping the gun.
It's very,
here.
Very
we haven't
limited.
We haven't given your name yet.
There's limited air time. Okay, so we'll address you and let you know when you're allowed to speak.
Which network is this airing on?
Why is he talking?
Why is he talking at all?
We haven't even given his name yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's your name?
While we're bantering over and back, and we're not going to give your name, can you write your name down in the card so we'll know how to address you? Thank you very much. So, this is our 53rd show.
I'm really
and,
proud.
And we're brought. What time of the day is it right now?
It's about
time for a cocktail.
12:15 a.m. We have a butler now.
Cocktail, please. We have a butler. His name is Hudson. He does not speak ever, but he makes a lot of noise.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Definitely, you're going to keep your job.
You are a true friend, my dear. You're a true friend.
So anyway, we have a guest again. What's his name?
His name is George.
George.
It starts with a G.
Starts with a G.
George Titicaca. I think
that's it.
George Titicaca. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Great pronunciation. It's perfect.
Yeah, I know.
It's dead on.
Yeah. I was doing something a couple of weeks ago where some idiot was asking me to perform in a Japanese or a Chinese accent, and apparently for some reason he thought I knew how to perform in a Chinese
really?
Or Japanese
I didn't know
accent.
That you had a job.
But I actually learned something about the inflection and about the tone and about the breathing of the whole thing, and apparently with Japanese it's more in the mouth.
I see.
Or is that the Chinese one?
I don't really know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm trying to explain to you, that's why.
Yeah.
So anyway, our guest this evening, his name is Greg Hatanaka.
Gregory
Hatanaka. Okay, Gregory
Thank
Hatanaka.
You. Sir Gregory?
Gregory.
Sir Gregory. Welcome.
Are you related to...
Lady Gregory.
Gregory Maritea?
In a very distant sort of way in life. Yeah.
Or Greg Van Horn. We actually have several friends that are called Greg. It's very, very strange.
It's strange.
There's a proliferation of Gregs in the universe.
Yeah.
And,
what does that mean?
Nothing probably, really.
Probably not.
Not
so
less.
What? Now, what do you do, Mr. Hatanaka?
I don't know. I mean, it's
no?
you invited me here.
We invited you here
you
to have a drink.
I have some sort of insight to give to anyone, and
the world of art,
sense
and culture.
Of entertainment. Is that what you think?
Mm-hmm. We're the entertaining ones. Don't get carried away. We're the entertaining ones. We just need you to tell us what you do.
You run some rinky-dink like nickel and dime store down on Westwood or something like that.
Exactly.
It's, you know, the guys are the thin veil of a production company.
We trade
or
fish and
yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
7-day-old.
Do you
fish.
Have beads too on blankets and things like that?
Not quite, but
that's
you know,
not bad.
It's sort of like being in what do you call it the rug market, you know? And
I like that.
The rug
haggle.
Is in like the
yeah. people haggle, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
the hair pieces.
I saw
like
that,
Omar
you know,
wears those
when I was
rugs
making.
Or?
Listen, this is my natural hair.
Really, all 7 of them.
Eight.
Okay. Well, you put had one put in.
The scalp treatments have taken.
Mm, good.
But that reminds me of the rug markets in the Middle East.
It reminds you of them. You spent time there.
Well, I did.
In what years were that?
The '40s.
The '40s. Okay. Mm, yeah. Okay. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Because we're ignorant
about it.
I'd like to hear more about
whether your cigarette's about to fall to the floor.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Be there. You better knock
it's okay.
You
that
better,
carpet is completely burned.
I'm just gonna refresh my drink there. Okay. So.
Hatanaka.
Mr. Hatanaka.
Yes.
You work in the film business.
Is it a business? Yes, yes, yes.
Well, it's not really a business. Like you said, you were making an analogy? Yes.
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
To the world of haggling and trade.
You know, like a Middle Eastern rug market?
Like, it's like a bazaar.
Or bazaar, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Sure.
It's true. I used to make films, too.
Yeah.
I've done several films.
Don't you have one coming out soon?
I starred in a few of them.
Oh, really? In the Valley, is it?
Well, I was in the San Fernando Valley.
San Fernando
in
Valley.
The 70s.
So the caliber of film you're talking about. Yeah.
You might recognize me if I...
You were pretty small. You had some small tertiary roles in them.
I had some large roles in but we'll talk about that later. So moving on, and I don't know if you distribute the kind of films that I was in, but you know.
Well, as you say, I'm a film distributor.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredibly
yeah, it's exciting, isn't it?
Well, not really, actually. I'm just pretending it is, but it's really.
We're actually not really interested in that at all.
Very, yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's like selling rugs, and so you've already explained that. I want to hear more about. I heard that you also direct films too.
From whom?
That's a laugh.
Someone told me that.
They went to my basement and they found the cans of Super 8 loops in the basement.
Did you make some
of
the films that I was in the 70s? I don't know.
I think I would call it misdirection more than direction. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know something, Peter. Name some of the titles.
Title 1, Title 2.
The titles of Mr.
Hudson. No, I forgot it was called Title Zero.
It was actually called Title Zero. I think, no, it wasn't. It was called No Regrets or something. Was that the name of it? But I think that's kind of a name you use for a lot of your movies when you can't think of anything.
Or shooting title for every
film. For every film.
It's called No Regrets,
It.
But God knows there are many of them, I'm sure, by the end of it.
So how many films have you directed?
Oh, not much. Only two.
Only two?
Yeah. No, wow, I've executive produced and produced, I think, four movies.
That's
directed
quite a body of work, too. That's quite a body of work. How old are you?
It's like Sergio Leone, film every 10 years.
You know, making a film is a major.
It's kind of like Daniel Day-Lewis.
One is a big deal.
One movie every 7 or 8 years or something like that. But
okay,
they're
so
really,
you're 70.
They really count.
Right,
but you're talking about as if I make films and it's they're films, like they're a commodity, they're a form of entertainment. What we do is a sort of, I think they're more.
Yeah.
Exploration,
cinema,
shall
masturbation
we say. Yeah,
is
yeah.
what it is.
Okay, so I want to hear about your first film. I want to hear about your first film.
It was called Mad Dogs and Englishmen? No. Mad Cowgirl, was that the name of it?
The first film.
The first film that you
no,
well,
no, 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 no,
let's
no,
use the word
no.
direction for want of another one.
The first film... Well, technically I'm credited... Actually, my first film that I've directed was called Until the Night.
Wow,
which you haven't seen, obviously.
No, thankfully.
And that was with Norman Reedus.
Oh, right.
You may have seen
it.
You remember that movie.
Yes.
And Kathleen Robertson and Michael T. Weiss and Sean Young. Yeah, so
it's a very nice cast.
Wow.
Yeah. Then, technically, I'm credited for a second movie called Bar Paradise, but that was purely out of favor to a friend who was a producer. I didn't walk on the set one day thinking that, you know, I didn't take my filmmaking career seriously because whatever. And so technically, if you look on my credits, you'll see there's a second film that I'm credited for, which, is...
which is that?
It's called Bar Paradise.
Bar Paradise.
Bar Paradise.
Oh, you know all about that?
It's a Thai movie. It's a Thailand movie, and I've never stepped foot in Thailand...
it's one of those kind of movies. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. What was the premise? What was the premise of that movie?
You know, you should know all about this film because it says Bar Paradise, and you tend
Why
to
would
live
I know anything about that?
Because you tend to be found in bars pretty much 24 hours a day, isn't that
By
right?
you,
you,
mostly. You know, you're the one that finds me there.
That's a great tuxedo, by the way.
I love the red bow tie and the boutonniere.
I
purchased it.
You're very dapper, you know.
Chinatown, actually, for about $35.
Very dapper, you know.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes,
the
actually, I got
the
two.
Insignia
I actually got two shirts. Yeah, it's a kind of a Chinese tuxedo. I got two shirts, a red one and a blue one, for about $35 in a nice little Chinese market downtown. And then I got the tuxedo. Actually, I think it's probably one of yours that you lent me years ago that I'll never give it back to you.
I would
be
surprised.
Yeah, but
I would
be
the least bit surprised.
I had it taken in several times. Clearly,
so you. Directed this, actually you've directed more than two films. So then, Mad Cowgirl. What was the inspiration for this? I've seen this film; it's insane.
You've seen it?
Yes, I have.
Where?
I've seen it in theater.
At one of the local insane asylums.
I saw it at a film festival.
No, I mean, you know, look. I mean, the way I make movies is the way one approaches a sort of hobby. If you golf, if you go to the gym, or if you collect music, and you know, you're just sort of exploring things, fragments of things of your mind that you want to explore. So, I mean, so Mad Cowgirl just sort of evolved out of sort of my hysteria and paranoia of not wanting to eat beef all of a sudden. You know, I mean, you take a small thing like that and you just kind of develop it and it becomes cumulative and it evolves.
So you're a vegetarian?
Into what it was. No, I'm not.
So you've come full circle now. You eat beef again.
I'm back to eating beef.
Raw
beef. But at that time it was very gluttonous. My sort of beef consumption at that time. So,
and this inspired an entire film. I'm glad to know this man is actually crazier than you are. Okay, so
wasn't it around the time?
I saw the film.
Around the time of that Mad cow disease too?
Well, it had been there, but it was more the fact that I found myself being very gluttonous, you know.
Yeah.
And I found all, and then the second part, if you saw the movie, you know, there's a very religious undertone to it as well. And I found myself
Didn't get that at all. Nothing like that at all.
I found myself being obsessed with this idea of wanting to confess constantly, you know.
Right.
Going to confession booths, you know, watching people at confession booths going in and out, you know, not going in, you know, not being able to go in myself, but just watching the act of going in
and
seeing
out.
People walking out was fascinating to me. So I said, how do you combine this stuff? And, I don't know, and then hope that 10 people want to see it, you know? I don't know.
But it has an audience. I mean, it has. You have a sort of a midnight audience for that film.
Well, the film has obtained a real cult following since it was first released. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, all the time there's new followers of the picture. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's good, you know?
No, but the murder's real. I always enjoy snuff films. I've been involved with a few.
Have you really?
Yes, they're great. Really awesome. But so, were the murders real and then the bloodletting, was that real?
I think that you take your experience of watching the film by your own life experience and you say, okay, that's what it means. I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, so that means yes. I mean, he's not going to confess to murder on the air.
So what's your style then as a director? I mean, do you like just kind of come in there completely visionless?
Right. Kind yes. Exactly.
Which is basically what I think. Which is kind of what I'm getting from you. Really.
And we give our actors certain
absolutely
ideas.
No idea of what you're doing, and sort of make a whole premise based around the idea that you don't know what you're doing, and just kind of come in. And
but see, that is an idea. The idea
way.
That you don't know what you're doing is a sort of style actually.
No, I understand. So,
so now,
how do your actors feel about that process?
Well, you know, we have
terrific. Unfortunately, we don't have any of them here this evening to sort of, you know, step up to the plate and.
That's okay. We do have some. Do we have some sound clips?
Oh yeah, if you want to jump ahead to the third film.
So
yeah.
Am I?
No, well, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay, am I getting ahead of myself? I can wait.
So they're all the same.
Have a light another cigarette.
They're all kind of crazy. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. No. We're working on a third picture now, and it's
also called No Regrets.
It's entitled No Regrets. The shooting title, and
but not No Regrets 3.
Je ne regrette rien.
No Regrets.
Je ne regrette rien.
Je ne regrette rien. Ne regrette rien.
How do you say cubed in French?
Yeah. Well. Huh.
How do you say cubed in français? You know,
cubed,
no, cubed,
cubé, cubé,
cubé.
Je ne sais pas.
Yeah. No. Anyhow. No. So this is something that we're working on right now. And
so tell us that story. What's the story?
Please tell me the story. I'd love to know what it's about.
It's not so much a story as a sort of you know.
Bad idea.
Collective way about. No. It's about how certain lives intertwine. You know, and each have. Everybody's got their own emotions and tortures and torment that they're dealing with, and so how these people sort of intertwine, you know, or even how their emotions overlap, you know, more so.
Yeah, but what's the story? What's the story about? I mean, that doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean? You could say that that's true of anything, really, or any situation. But I mean, is there a through line?
Well, yeah.
No.
I mean, if you
okay,
have to
clearly not. Let's go to the clip then. Okay, let's
here
go.
Here we
to
go.
The
here's
clip.
A, here's a clip. We've got this very.
Okay, we're going to need a moment, so why don't you fill in there, Peter? Why don't you tell us about what happened last night at the bar?
Last night at the bar, I don't know, but I will tell you what happened today. I had a fabulous afternoon this afternoon at the last show of American Idol. I was actually with some
that's
of my
really
dear old
there.
Friends from the acting world, Anthony Hopkins.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. Ceramic, is that what you said?
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, I said Ceramic.
Ceramic Hopkins.
Going? Ceramic Hopkins?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was there, Anthony Hopkins, and my dear friend Simon Cowell, who is, okay, you didn't get that. So
putting on a little
good.
Weight.
Putting on a lot of weight, yes, actually. It's from all those, it's one of those big fat paychecks he's getting, I assume. But it was down to two finalists, one guy called Adam Lambert, who's a supreme artist, really quite an amazing guy. He's kind of like in the vein of Freddie Mercury, who I know is a big idol of yours.
Well, he was a good friend of mine.
He was a good,
in the
70s. Dear, a very close friend of yours, as I understand, yes.
He was great. He gave great parties.
He did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who was there. There was a midget covered in liver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who was that?
It's one of the centerpieces at the party. I don't know the midget's name.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, there was Adam Lambert. He was one of the finalists. And another guy who no one knew who his last name was. It was Chris something, Gitan.
This is really not very interesting.
Well, why did you ask me then?
You brought up
no. You
Idol.
Brought
That's
it
pathetic.
Up. You asked me what I was doing, and I'm giving you the answer.
I thought so you were going to tell us. I thought you were going to tell us one of your interesting bar exploits.
No, that's what you thought I was going to say, but I wasn't going to.
But we've been reduced to American Idol, which is
Yeah, pretty sad.
Beyond pathetic.
Okay, so I think we have... Do we have the clip queued up? So let's go...
What the hell are we waiting for? Because we can move on.
Let's go on with the clip.
The sad suburban...
Greg Hatanaka, can you tell us what...
Secret life that you lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the character is Bolo, and he runs a nightclub, and it's a sort of nightclub from the
Bolo.
Haiti.
Bolo,
Haiti. Well, it's, you know, it's Chinese.
And he's
Irishman, and...
He's Chinese and
Irish. And he yearns for the days of Julie London music. And
we love Julie London.
You know, and,
I knew her.
You know, blues.
I slept with
smoke-filled lounges. But unfortunately, this is the day we live in now, and that doesn't exist. And there's no culture, and people are morally bankrupt. And
wow.
You know, and,
you know Peter.
So he meditates to himself, and this is one of the clips when he's self-meditating.
Self-meditating.
Okay. Okay. Right. This is the character of Bolo. Okay, let's listen to this. Fucking rubbish.
Delusional freak.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm uncertain, really. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I just don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm uncertain. I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I can't tell you. I'm uncertain. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Was that it?
I'm uncertain.
Okay. Oh, there's more?
I'm uncertain. Okay. I don't know. Maybe.
Wait, there's
maybe
more.
Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know.
Now I know why you're on the show.
Okay, wow, that was quite...
I have to say, I worship you now. That was insane.
That was really quite...
We
insane.
Have other clips too.
We'll have to spread them out. We have
recover from that one.
Wow, that was insane.
You know, the actor playing that role. I mean, that's him.
Wow,
you know?
Wow,
that's
what does it say?
You put him in a cage. You know, you put him in a confined space, and that's it. You know,
that's it.
Yep.
And then it just happens.
Exactly.
And how do you direct the actor? What direction do you give them, or do you give them any? I'd be really intrigued to know.
Well, you know, I put him in a cage. I mean, the directing is casting the actor, so that's...
That's true. Interesting.
But elaborate on that. I mean, people say that. What do you mean by that?
No, honestly speaking, for this particular film, it's set in the classical opera music world. So a lot of the movie is physical, and so when I've been directing these sequences in the movie, I've been actually directing it like a conductor. We go high, you know, I raise my hands up and down. We go low, I set the tempo. A lot of it has been like I'm a conductor for this, and that lends itself to the material, you know, very much so.
So you think that tempo is going to emerge in the rhythm of the cut and the way that this winds up?
Oh, sure, definitely, because it's set up into different movements, the movie. So you've got the beginning, the first movie, so you've got a sort of prelude and overture, and it progresses, and you introduce the themes, and then you have a crescendo, and you've got, you know, I mean, it peaks in the third, and the third movement, sure, definitely, yeah.
It's really quite insane to listen to. I think I could actually hear it one more time.
Wasn't that fantastic?
It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. That was wonderful.
I need to have that sort of like, you know,
as a soundtrack to something.
You know,
yeah.
I'll hear that before I go to work or out of the door,
really good about
out
yourself,
for the night,
yes. yeah.
or, you know, bring someone home and just play for them. And I'll be right back, sweetie. Just listen to this for a minute. Make yourself comfortable and take your shoes off.
How did the actor feel about being put through those kind of hoops?
Well, I think for him it was a sort of self-cleansing process, you know,
because he didn't bathe before he came to the set.
He's got a lot of demons and, you know,
yeah,
he's...
Thank you. What else did you make this crazy actor do?
Oh, I mean, he's in the picture throughout. And
I heard he was underwater at one point, in a tuxedo.
He was underwater. I mean, because basically his life is falling. His life is underwater. He's got a failed marriage, a crazy wife, and so he's submerged, and he wants to stay underwater.
The way
it's comfortable. Actually, at some point, if one could breathe for 10 minutes or forever in perpetuity, living underwater would be fantastic.
I can kind of understand that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. If I could live inside of a glass of bourbon forever, I would do that.
Don't you anyway?
Well, I do.
You spent half of your adult life trying to crawl out of one.
That's true.
And the other half trying to crawl into it.
I do not deny it.
Yeah, indeed.
And, you know, I've had some of the best drinks in the best places around the world.
Indeed.
I'll continue to do so.
Why not?
For the next 100 years.
Wow. That'll make you 205.
That'll make me
205.
A living, breathing vampire.
So, this movie now, are you in, what stage of the movie are you in? Are you in completion stage? Are you halfway through, three quarters way through? I mean, have all the actors just basically run for the hills based on that last sort of clip? Or do you have to recast it every time you shoot something? Or do you have to recast
the entire
production team?
Let him speak. I'm asking a long question.
No, I mean, we're still in that sort of exploratory stage where we don't know what it is. We have a feeling and we're exploring things and things don't work. And so we adapt them and we create something new and we take that path. And we explore that. That's what we're doing.
Some of these self-indulged actors could actually find it that all of their work could be cut out later.
That's right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hey, you know, I tell you, like somebody who was in one scene gives one line. They're fantastic. They get five scenes. They get ten scenes. Somebody who had 10 scenes written for them are down to one or nothing at all. I mean, that's what it is. It's about the emotion. And you know, a lot of people are afraid to bring these emotions to the surface when we're shooting this kind of picture. You know, they're afraid to be exposed
raw,
emotionally.
To be bare. To act without.
But those that don't, that aren't afraid. I mean, they're the ones that sort of stand out for me.
I don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I can't tell.
What did you say about acting without a condom?
Acting without a condom, yes.
Oh, basically. Wow, I did that in the 70s.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
acting without
good.
A condom.
That's actually good.
Yeah, I know it is. Yes, I know it is. I know.
Yeah.
So, and the name of this movie is called, what is it called?
Mad Cowgirl.
No, that's not Mad Cowgirl. This is still No Regrets, but what's the actual name of the movie when it's finalized?
No Regrets at this point.
I thought there was a different title on it.
The French title is Je ne regrette rien.
There's another.
No, there's...
Do you want me to sing that for a little
bit? No, I really don't.
We're playing around with the idea of the last concerto, but I don't say that's necessarily the right thing for this type of picture. Yeah.
No Regrets works better than the last concerto.
But No Regrets is the name of every one of his movies prior to it.
That's so, okay. I mean, No Regrets 1,
yes, it does work, but not 10 times
three.
Over. I mean, if you're going to go to the DVD store or Netflix or whatever it is, and you're asking for No Regrets, I mean, which version do you want? The No Regrets 2009, the No Regrets 2007, 2005, 2003. I mean, do you get where I'm going?
I want the one with the raw meat in it.
Okay, without a condom.
Yeah.
So, So now there's also a... did we talk about the film production company you have? What's the name of it? You have one? Or a distribution?
You mean the distribution company?
Distribution,
yeah.
Or whatever it is. It doesn't really
matter. Yeah, Cinema Epoch. Yeah, is my distribution company.
Cinema
Epoch.
Epoch.
Epoch. You say Epoch, I say Epoch.
What does that mean?
Well, it represents a sort of time when things suppose. An epoch is a time when sort of things emerge, you know.
Yeah. And what's emerged so far?
And I think the prayer is that we're in a sort of time where everything has been so bankrupt that cinema is sort of emerging, we hope, from these new voices and, you know.
So
shake all the money away and then what do you have of people? You've got just their knowledge and their will to create art and, you know. And you hope you get something more without the confidence that they had when there was money. You know, shake
the money away and you have a troubled man who's trying to hold on to his castle and maintain his lifestyle.
And he shouts like the...
And he goes crazy.
And he goes crazy.
So let's hear another sound clip.
Yeah.
Can we?
Ooh. How many do we have? I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Hudson.
Why is the butler drinking?
Did you say Butson?
I said, why is the butler?
Did you say Butson or Hudson?
You said Hudson. I said, why is the butler drinking our wine?
He can't answer you. He doesn't speak. He's a mute.
No, I'm asking you because you hired him.
So in this clip.
He's drinking your wine, not mine.
In this clip two, it's called clip two.
Oh, well,
it's called No Regrets. No Regrets part two.
Let me get this straight. Clip one is called clip one.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Then clip two is called clip two. Yeah.
No, clip two is called clip three.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, my dear.
Is clip two or three? Okay, yeah. So
this is clip three, which is known as clip two.
In his meditation
don't speak,
to himself.
Don't speak. No, not you. I'm talking to the butler. Carry on, Greg.
In his meditation to himself, he sort of regrets that he never was the conductor for the... you know, for the New York Met Symphony that he wanted to be in. And
I used to do
and
that.
So here he's conducting.
You used to do everything,
didn't you? He's conducting for his audience, which is himself and himself. You know, I mean, and this is great. This is, you can hear.
Over here, Hudson.
He's composing.
Excellent.
And
Jesus. All right, so are we ready?
Yes, let's hear this. Well, that sounds good, too. La da 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 dee da 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 dee da da la da la 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 da 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 dee da la 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 la
That was anyway,
I'll tell you, to see the visual with that is like
is really quite
it's
insane,
powerful because yeah. You see you feel his pain for once. You know, yeah, I think people watching this movie they feel his pain.
I can feel his pain right now.
And let me say
that was quite insane. I thought the first one was insane, but that one is wow. That's really
intrigued now.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to see this film.
So, who do you surround yourself with, Greg? What kind of bunch of crew do you hang out with
from the local asylum?
From
you
the
mean?
Local asylum over here, yes, exactly. Are you from Los Angeles originally? Where are you from?
Yeah, no, I'm from a suburb called Torrance.
Torrance.
Now, is that Tarantino?
Is that Japanese or Chinese or something, or is that what is that? Just a regular suburb of
it's
LA.
A suburb.
Yeah, Torrance. Is that anywhere near like Truesdale Estates? Or?
Is that near like La Cañada? Torrance. Is it, or is it like Palmdale or Palm?
It's
Torrance?
Near like you know.
Torrance.
It's like near
no,
Hancock
I mean the
Park.
High school I shot at. They filmed Beverly Hills 90210, Buffy. You know, I mean it's Fast Times at Ridgemont.
I used to date Sarah Michelle Gellar. She was really hot.
Did you really? Don't you know Ian Ziering too from 90210?
I do.
How do you know him?
I met him in Monaco.
Wow. One of your many residences around the world.
Well, one of my many trips.
One of your many trips. Yeah. One of your many tricks. Yeah. What were you doing there?
I was at a film festival.
The Monaco Film Festival.
The Monaco is Charity Monaco. Film Festival. Monaco.
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 Monaco, yeah.
Well, that was my Australian associate.
More, New York.
Monaco.
So Torrance, yeah. So you
like
made
when
the,
it gets
you,
boring,
you, made,
you come back to me.
You made,
and you, say,
you made the big move.
Well, you know,
you made the big move from Torrance.
Guests are really relevant here.
To
cocktail party.
Los Angeles. You made the big move from Torrance to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, that was a long way, wasn't it?
It was, and a lot of movies, you know, really? A lot of movies along. Well, as a distributor, yeah, because I some of the first movies I actually ended up distributing were like the films of Ed Wood. This was before the Tim Burton film.
Oh, the
by
films
the way.
Of Ed Wood.
Yeah,
yeah,
the real
yeah,
Ed Wood.
The real Ed Wood. The real Ed Wood. I ended up doing that, and that led to a job with this company in DC, who hired me out in LA to do distribution for them. And they had produced all the Coen Brothers films. Like they produced Blood Simple, Barton Fink, Miller's Crossing, Raising Arizona.
So I'm seeing a theme here. You like the edgy out there stuff. Yeah. Because the Coen Brothers, no matter how mainstream they've become, have remained somewhat to the left.
But see, I don't know where you grew up, I mean, and so forth. You know, when I grew up in the 70s.
Dragged up.
You know, I grew up in the drive-ins. You know, and they had all these cool B pictures. Like, you'd go to drive in, but you wouldn't want to see, like, the stupid Studio A picture. You'd wait up till 10:30, 11 o'clock for that B picture or the C picture that came on. And then you'd get, like, a great, like, Sonny Chiba or a cool, like, Damnation Alley kind of picture, you know, like a grindhouse picture.
I've never been to a drive-in.
Really?
Well, no,
see,
I either,
it's a shame.
Actually.
You know, that's an experience to know what that's, you know, yeah.
And they're disappearing now, from what I understand.
Oh, they're practically non-existent. I mean, there's one in Orange County, Riverside, and, you know, and, yeah.
Are the
you
teens
know.
Going amok at the drive-in?
You know?
Is that why they're closing?
Well, there were robberies.
I would have had a good time. Like I would had a really good time at one of those things. I wish I'd gone.
Sure, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the, you know, your audience today does not have the sort of artistic and cultural opportunities that we had, like, you know, and before us.
I could have had a really hot time at the drive-in. Wow. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
I was getting too serious. Let's rebound back now. Let's rebound back.
No, I think you're right, but all I can think about right now is sex and hot teenagers at the drive-in.
It's quite a specifically a very American thing, the drive-in, because it certainly didn't ever sort of, you know...
Happened to me in my global upbringing in Europe.
Let's not specify the actual...
Let's not specify the horrible islands
that I was born out of. The horrible people on it. Let's not go there because, you know, if I really had one of my dreams fully realized, I would anchor that little island to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean and have it submerged in water for the rest of its days.
That's all right.
But anyway, that's a whole other topic, yeah.
So Ed Wood, were you fascinated by his films?
Well, I mean, you know, his films are not nearly
as bad as they're
more infamous for being bad, but they're not really. You actually see it. And he was sort of like, you know, he was sort of like the grindhouse Cassavetes, you know, of the 50s and 60s of his time, because, you know, he self-produced them. You know, the forms of distribution were not through traditional venues. He didn't care. He didn't answer to anybody. He just created stuff, you know. And, I mean, you know.
So in some ways, you were inspired by this.
This
is coming through in your own career as
a director. I've been inspired by Ed Wood Jr., yes.
Ed Wood.
Yeah, Ed Wood. Yeah.
So go on. So then, you know, what happened after this? So you were doing the Coen films and...
Yeah. I mean, so then like one of the next key film was being able to work on and distribute John Woo's The Killer. And this was, of course, before John Woo was big again. And,
predictable, Peter.
You know, but, I mean, I've got various credits, and they go down, you know, down the line. But that's the idea. And that was, you know, that was 14, 15 years ago. And I kind of got stuck in this whole distribution, you know,
hell.
Arena. Yeah, hell. And then so it was many years later till I actually ended up directing my first film. You know,
Is it like your idea with your movies to kind of have them remain, you know, with a smaller cult-like following, or is it your intention to kind of like broaden it out and have them in kind of wide release that more and more people can see your madness? Or do you want to?
Does that take on a life of its own?
I don't make the films for anybody or any audience in mind. We put it out there. We hope
the actors must love that. Really, they must really enjoy.
Well, I think
we hope that
they're telling
people,
their agents and all their friends, that they're in this like movie that is directed by Greg Hatanaka that's basically going to go nowhere.
Who?
And it's not going to be submitted for any festivals because it'll
never
be finished.
Is he related to Greg Maritea?
He is. We had that question earlier.
I know, but
not all Gregs are related. Not all Gregs are related to
Is he related
other.
To Lord Gregory Houndsmith?
Lady Gregory, I said. Houndstooth.
Oh, Hounds.
Lady Houndstooth. You remember her.
I remember her.
She was a friend of your dear Aunt Agatha.
Quite.
Do you remember
slut,
her?
Actually. Everybody remembers. Everybody remembers her.
Everybody remembers her and her girl, her little poison ring and all that kind of
thing. That was awesome, dude. Yes. You had to make sure once she got tired of you that she didn't open that goddamn
once
thing.
Once again, I remember that's what she used to always say to you when you walked through the door. Once again, this oaf has ruined my life.
She was quoting your Uncle Monty.
Yeah, yes.
But that's another story entirely.
For one of our most choices of movies. What is it? With Nail and I.
Yeah, that
a movie
old thing.
That we really, really both
based
love.
On your ridiculous cousin.
Based on your ridiculous cousin?
No, yours.
Oh, mine. I think it was really based on me, on my life,
I
really.
I would actually with say
I never got to the bottom.
I didn't
who,
want to
Who was
be,
I, actually?
Who was I?
The creepy, what was his name?
The creepy middle-class guy that went,
was
actually
you.
Got a job.
Oh, the one, yes.
Yeah, that one. His name was I.
His name was I, okay.
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, right?
You did have a name
saw,
in the
I never
movie.
Saw the film.
Well, you've got to see it.
Yeah. It's really quite a fabulous name. It's really about...
Actually, you, I'm surprised...
It's Gary Oldman.
I'm surprised
that
you
haven't
seen
it. No, it wasn't Gary Oldman. No, it was Richard E. Grant.
I'm surprised that you haven't seen it.
Richard E. Grant.
It seems like it would be right up your alley. Who is this?
Yeah. That was the butler. He doesn't speak, but he does belch. So it was starring Richard E. Grant and some other...
And
I, whoever the actor was.
And Uncle Monty, and that's it.
And Uncle Monty, who has actually continued to work...
cat. Ah, yes, thank you. Oh, no, don't mix my wine, please. Thank you.
Anyway, so that was my
firing. No, I'm back to red wine. I'm going to just mix it all up.
Well, he's an ingrate. He's just here on a trial basis, Mr.
He's really quite confused.
Mr. Hatanaka.
I told you not to let him drink.
Yeah. He's only here for a couple of hours. He can be relieved of his duties at any point.
I think he will be immediately. But anyway, we were talking about your inspiration. So were you inspired by...
Our perspiration, actually. There's a smell in the room.
Well, that... I'm sorry. Yeah. It came in with you.
Yeah. I don't know where the hell it's
coming from.
Or
maybe it was our guest. Is it you?
Did you talk about
actors cleansing.
I just came from the set today.
You talked about actors not cleansing. Did you cleanse?
It was a sewage.
The sewage thing.
Did you cleanse? You said the actors
sewage.
Did you cleanse before you came here?
Sewage by Calvin Klein. Yeah. What were you saying?
Who? What?
Yeah, never mind.
Who is this? So, your inspirations?
Peter and Omar.
Naturally.
Peter and Omar.
Everybody.
Wow,
yes. Omar.
Well, they're
and
iconic,
Peter.
Really, aren't they? They're iconic.
Actually,
people.
Omar, you know, more so than Peter.
Yeah. Now, I think there was an occasion where, Omar, you were recently at the Cannes Film Festival, were you not?
Yes.
And you were doing some hosting for some charity event, I believe.
I was.
Tell us every. Excruciating, horrific detail about that episode.
Ridiculous,
please.
American.
I think I don't remember very clearly, but I know I was there.
A very strange.
I know I was there because I have the pictures, but I don't actually remember anything.
You
that
were
happened.
There,
but the footage is there.
But unfortunately, you
but
were.
But I don't remember.
You were at Lord Highsmith's table and you passed out.
Lady Highsmith, yes, I was. So there was a charity event at, I believe, the Carlton
Hotel. Lady Highsmith wasn't there. Was she under?
I was thinking of Patricia Highsmith, the novelist.
That's a different lady. Yes, she's dead. But that wouldn't put I wouldn't put past you to find someone dead. But that's another story.
I like My Favorite Year, by the way.
My Favorite Year. Yeah. It's a wonderful film.
Who was in that? Oh, right.
I like
was.
The tamarind seed, by the way.
The tamarind seed. Thank you. Do you like Dr. Zhivago?
It's good, too.
I didn't like the casting in that one.
Do you like you know...
Do you like Omar?
Lawrence of Arabia?
Or isn't there a TV show called Lawrence of Arcadia? Or
yeah, I don't
like
watch
television. Or Joan of Arcadia?
I don't
or something
watch
like
American
that.
Idol.
Oh, yeah, Joan of Arcadia. There's something
Joan
like
of Arcadia.
That, yeah.
Is that sort of like the premise loosely based
TV,
on Lawrence of Arabia?
So
or
is your
what
film
is
No Regrets based on Joan of Arcadia? Is that what you're trying to tell
That's
me?
That's what I'm saying, yes. Okay. It was shot in Torrance, but based on the life of a girl called Joan from Arcadia.
There's a girl named Joan. She's in a film called No Regrets, and she has no regrets because she's accepted Arcadia as her savior.
Wow, this is really trite.
Is that
Let's
it?
Move on to another question.
You know more about the movie than I do.
I'm confused.
Let me go harken back to that question I was trying to ask you a couple of minutes ago. You, because yeah, I actually, you know, did a little bit of work on Mr. Titicaca a couple of weeks ago, and I went down to one of his shooting days, and he seemed to be surrounded by a bunch of equally, you know, mentally ill people around him. Mm. So I'm wondering, where do you sort of...
Was there a medieval atmosphere on the set?
How do you sort of entice or engage...
Torturous?
Yes.
Entice or engage this kind of level of kind of like-minded madness around you with your producers and your camera people and, you know, it all seems like you're all kind of from the same little pod of weirdness. weirdness.
Well, it's like Invasion
know?
Of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
just
of,
sort of...
Yeah.
It becomes,
I mean, it's like talking to one of you is like pretty much talking to any one of you, really. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
It becomes
it's kind of
infectious,
amazing.
You know?
It's
I mean,
kind
it's
of like when we were talking to you earlier on during the week.
Shut up and let him finish.
No, we were talking to you earlier on during the week when you were discussing maybe having some of your cohorts come in. I was
you said we were talking. When did I see you this week?
Never mind that. That's just incidental. That you were thinking of having some of your cohorts come in, but I was thinking, well, it doesn't really matter who comes because you're all pretty much the same kind of person, really, you know. So anyway, that was the question.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you know, I think it is infectious. It is, you know, especially the Irishman, who the actor in my picture, you know, I mean,
I'm sure he was a wonderful actor.
He naturally gravitates towards the insanity whenever it's announced that I'm making a picture, and you know, I mean, you know, and I think naturally everybody else they see that they sort of need to see something that is relative to what they're experiencing or something like
is
that.
Is the Irishman is he the star of the movie?
Yes,
very eccentric. This guy
is it the star of the film though? That's what my question.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Okay,
well,
so
you heard that groundbreaking performance.
Well, listen,
right?
That performance, you know, in the right film is a star making. It's a star turning.
Star making or star breaking. One or the other.
I should know.
Surprised you don't take commercial breaks here. It's amazing. Yeah, yeah. But see, the company is so.
There's no reason
it's
to
so
take commercial
warm,
breaks.
You know,
we haven't gotten any sponsors yet. Except for the liquor company.
Hopefully, we're looking for a sponsorship.
Except
Maker's Mark and Sky Vodka. Maker's Mark and Sky Vodka is who we're looking at right now.
And some of the finer champagnes for our, you know, other guests.
Louis Couture is that furniture? I'm really.
Louis Couture was one of my forebears, my dear.
Forebearers? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Do we have another clip that maybe we could did you accidentally play them all? I don't know. You're producing this thing. Don't ask us.
No. You try to play four.
I think I personally would like to indulge in listening to the first one again. I could actually hear the first one again.
Yeah, let's do one and followed by
Number three.
That sounds great.
There we go.
Okay, let's go.
But introducing the three.
I find them so deeply disturbing, my nipples are erect.
So this is clip number three, which is number two.
No, he's
going to
do number one first.
Well, talk us through this again.
What was it?
No, that's number two.
I don't know what to do.
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
Okay. This guy sounds really confused. I don't want to hear this one again. It's creepy.
I'm uncertain, really. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know anymore. I'm uncertain.
Okay, that's the uncertain clip.
Side, but here's one. Yeah, play one. Well, you're back. That's four.
I don't know what to do.
Serious sight now.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Didn't we hear this already?
I don't know what to do. 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 I have no idea. I don't know what to do. I need your help. I really do. I need your help. I don't know what to do. I need your help. I really do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I need your help. Please. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
It's good. No, that's four.
Okay, we'll get to four.
I don't know. I'm uncertain, really. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I just don't know anymore. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know. I don't. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I'm uncertain. I don't know. I don't know. I'm uncertain. I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I can't tell you.
Jesus fucking Christ. Give that guy some help.
My God almighty, that's quite insane.
I'm talking about the fucking director that allowed this to happen.
Okay, so this
it's
is
amazing,
the,
though,
this
that it,
is
that it
the
transcends
same
the visualness. The sound, it transcends it. You know,
you
it's amazing.
You don't need to see that I'm handsome and stately and regal, because you can hear that from my voice. Just like I know this guy's crazy but from listening to his voice.
Why did you pick those clips? Yeah, specifically.
Well, because they evoke a sort of...
they embody the brilliance.
I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you. Like,
phones off, please.
Yeah. you take it like...
So why did you do
you take
that?
A piece when you're performing it or you're shooting it, and you want to see how far its potency is going to be when you're listening to it in a sort of finished form like this. Not even with picture. I wanted to test it. It actually works. You can see. Can you just imagine the power of it on screen now? You know, it was a test, actually, a very good test, just to hear it without. You know, that's like old time radio. You know, the suspense shows. You know, theater of the mind. You're conjuring up something in your mind of what you think is going on.
Big time.
I've seen it. What it looks like, but in your mind, it's so powerful that you know your image in your mind works with the
I'm disturbed. And I'm more disturbed that I'm sitting next to you, because I'm really afraid of the mind that would conceive of such a scenario. I'm going to move a little bit to the right.
A little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, yes. So, Greg, so after this, after the completion of this particular ridiculous indulgence, what is the next thing that's on the cards for... you do all your own movies through Cinema Epoch? Do you?
No,
and
I mean,
then,
no, that's
if you do, what's
not
the next
me, but I,
so if I make
I
another
produce...
one of my 70s style films, can I bring that to you?
Sure.
And you'll distribute it?
Especially if there are crazy Irishmen in the
well,
Irish actors.
You know a couple, don't you?
We could do that. But anyway, so we'll go on.
What is next? What's so next?
No, no, no. I mean, listen. To do a picture like this is so emotionally and psychologically draining and exhausting.
Yeah, for who?
That,
you?
And everybody involved, that one can only make this kind of picture every 2 or 3 years, you know, although I'll be doing something.
They're all on pills after, basically, yeah.
One pill makes you smaller, and one pill makes you taller. And the ones pill. That mother gives
I don't know
you
that one.
Don't do anything at all.
So,
I'm more comfortable, yes. You know, supporting.
Yes, carry on, Peter.
Supporting supporting other directors and artists than to create my own work. I'd rather be a producer, an executive producer, and then I'll direct occasionally, you know. But yeah. To answer your question.
Well, you don't believe in your own
so
personal direction.
So I could bring
direction.
You a film, and we could talk about you producing that.
Well, sure.
I could bring you a film of my exotic upbringing in Morocco.
Your fantasy
is
life.
There a lot of shouting in that?
Lots.
Oh, good.
Stabbing
good.
And screaming and
hey, you know,
bloodthirsty cries.
Yeah, but no, this movie rounds off the trilogy, so there will be no regrets. There will be no regrets.
No regrets.
This,
one,
this
two,
is,
and
this
three.
Is,
should
this,
have regrets.
This,
yeah.
This is the trilogy. Yeah, trois is the final. Le final.
Three,
you know?
Is our.
So it's like it's also the Baz Luhrmann trilogy of pictures, the Red Curtain Theater, where you had the Romeo and Juliet and the Moulin Rouge, and then the third one. What was the third one? The third one he had, not Australia, which was a piece
Australia.
Of Australia. How are you? Someone ate my baby. I mean, a dingo ate my baby.
Let's have roast dingo for dinner.
Roast dingo and rattlesnake.
Roast dingo stuff.
Yeah, put them on there. Hudson, put them on the fryer.
Yeah.
Dingo. But what was the third one he had? Baz Luhrmann. It was.
Yeah, what did he do? Something
it was Moulin Rouge.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah, and then he did Moulin Rouge.
He did Romeo and Juliet first.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was really good art direction.
That was actually a really beautiful movie, and I'm sure far superior to anything you could ever hope to do, Mr. Hatsunaka.
Well, I like the cross.
But that's all fine.
I like the cross made out of flames and candles and stuff. Yeah. Surrounded by water filled with rosebuds. That was really beautiful.
It really was. And DiCaprio's work was supreme.
I used that theme for one of my parties.
Really?
Yeah.
One of your con parties?
No, that was at somewhere else.
I really would like you to go back to that little sort of party at the Carlton and tell us a little bit more about that, because now, I know both of us were there, but for some reason I've completely blacked out. I know there was an issue with cowboy boots going on. There was a whole thing about money being, you know, embezzled or something. I don't know what was going on.
Well, you're mixing
I'm mixing my metaphors,
seasons.
Am I? Okay, yeah. All right, yes.
Several different seasons. But we're boring our guest. Once again,
yeah, at that party, you had a very wonderful sort of Gustav Mahler-esque white suit, right, with
yes,
the hat
right.
And the cane,
and my hair,
and
was
then
complete.
And you had the cigarette, you know, and
it's not gone completely white.
No, it was very, very handsome, very, you know, dapper. Yeah, I
felt like I was back in my old form, and just because I had a hotel that allows me to have access to the hospital doesn't mean that I'm past
the
my
hotel
prime.
That's overlooking the hospital.
Yes,
yes,
it's a very comfortable idea. So what's next?
Well, so, I mean, in terms of directing, with any luck and any sort of inspiration.
Because I know,
we'll
think you promised one of your actors a role in another upcoming movie with actual legitimate pay and stuff. I remember you mentioning that at one point. Now, is that actually true? Are you going to hold true to your promises
the next
BS?
Project is entitled Le Critique.
Le Critique.
Okay, what's the did you give it? What's the French for that?
Poquito.
It means, like, Le Critique.
Le Critic. Oh, The Critic.
Le Critic.
Isn't that like a TV show, The Critic, or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It is.
So what's that about?
This is actually what has happened. When I wrote the script, it was about to happen, the real events. But
in Torrance?
But it actually has happened now. Oh, in the world, the fact that
Torrance isn't really part of the world.
Nobody reads newspapers. Film criticism is not respected anymore. People, you know, the owners of the papers are firing the writers left and right and hiring sports people to write film film reviews. That's what the picture's about. So it's a.
Yeah.
We can play the clips 12 times.
So that's interesting. So,
I was just asking.
No, so that's,
for God's
that's
sake, stop getting so paranoid. What's the matter with you? Jesus.
Just because he whispers behind your back
doesn't mean
he's
I can't
bored.
Hear you. The microphones are on. God so, almighty.
But you know, so this is the milieu.
It's sort of,
what's the story?
No. I mean, it is. It, a woman is promoted to the job of film critic, lead film critic in her paper, and her world takes a whole downturn for the worse.
Oh, I want to roll too. Can I play the aging playboy?
In a Looking for Mr. Goodbar way, so if you know what that means, it's
the
very...
The aging playboy, yeah. Wow.
Well, I was going to basically
Have you seen yourself recently?
Base
Is
myself.
There a reason why there are no mirrors in your hotel room?
I was going to
Have you seen yourself?
I was going to base my characterization on you.
Okay. What does that mean?
What do you mean? Aging.
An aging Asian.
I said aging Asian. I thought you said
an aging Asian playboy.
No. An aging Asian playboy.
An aging Asian. An aging Asian playboy.
Living in a hotel with a journalist.
Okay. Wow.
Who writes only about him.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hello, darling. What are you going to write about me today?
So, Greg Hatanaka, I mean, do you ever envision yourself leaving the great cultural well of Los Angeles and going elsewhere to maybe
back
perhaps
to Torrance.
Back to Torrance.
Yeah, back to Torrance.
To pursue something, you know, to pursue your ideas maybe with an audience that might be a little bit more receptive to the madness. Anywhere else, or just want to stay in Los Angeles or go somewhere else?
No, I mean, look at it. I mean, if you're talking.
Yeah,
about,
have another glass there. Why don't you go right ahead?
If you're talking about America, I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's even harder to find an audience for a film that. You know, creates emotions and creates thoughts, you know, within yourself. It's getting harder for that in Europe, too. But I suppose it's easier to make
real
a movie.
Hard.
You look at Lars von Trier's new movie at Cannes. It was booed.
I haven't seen the film, but I know there's a juxtaposition of a couple making love with a graphic insertion scene while their baby's plummeting from a balcony. So I think people have some issues with this combination.
No, but my point is that, okay, he's an artist. I'm an artist. We make films for ourselves first most. We didn't make it, you know, I mean, you know, and so, but the average audience person today expects a sort of entitlement to a film that it has to be catered to the way they think.
I think ultimately a film that they understand from the first 5 minutes, they know what's going to happen. So they're just ready to take the plush ride.
No, I mean, but we have so much of a sense of entitlement today that everything's so free. Music is free on the internet. Movies are free on the internet. There's just a sense of that things are free. We want more.
We can get people to do everything for basically nothing, really.
I love that. Hudson.
Hire. Hudson! We can basically like hire actors, pay them nothing, and expect them to jump through whatever amount of obstacles and hoops will do.
Or even go into like water.
Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about that specifically, or what are you?
I don't know what to do.
Oh no!
Oh, jumping through hoops. I don't know what to do. Thank you. So just before we've got a little bit of time left, but if. I don't know why anyone would want to do this, but if anyone would ever want to contact you about anything for any reason, maybe psychological pills or something, how would they get in contact with you, Greg?
My agent's name is Barry O'Rourke.
Oh, good. Oh, interesting.
My manager is Stephen Adams. Christ.
I met them both at Cannes.
Oh, God almighty. Okay.
I met them both at Cannes. They're really actually rather effective people, but not very interesting.
Yeah. Well, dull. They're kind of drunk most of the time.
Dull.
Especially the Adams one. He's quite ill most of the time, recovering. But so is there
an address, or
maybe your wife's phone number we could give out over the air or something like that?
No. Our website is cinemaepoch.com.
And I could just tell that out for us.
E-P-A-K?
That's E-P-O-C-H.
And he's looking at his phone again.
Cinema, E-P-O-C-H.
How do you spell cinema? S-I-N?
Yeah.
Sin, S-I-N. Sin E.
Dash
Sin
E. Sin. No, S-I-N dash E-N-E-M-A.
Sin Enema. Sin Enema.
So
it's an enema. So it's cinema up the butt.
Sin Enema.
Yeah.
E-P-A-K.
It's butt cinema.
Wow. That's gross.
Okay. So cinemaepoch.com.
Hello.
Let me just take this. All cell phones off. Is the American Idol results?
Hi, everybody.
It's the American Idol results. So no,
cinema we've got our first caller who wants to know how they get their cinema enema.
Cinema enema. Yeah. Cinemaenema.com. Is that it?
Yes. Cinema enema. Yes. And it's accompanied by the screams of that insane star of yours.
So that's it? Cinemaenema.com.
That's correct.
Let's go to one last clip, and if we don't have one,
well, I think
certainly.
You could do the fourth clip, or we could.
Maybe one of your actors is here to do it for you.
No. I don't want him coming in.
He's pretty scary, that dude.
Not as potent.
Okay, well, talk us through this one before we hear it.
Well, he's babaing, you know.
He's babaing, like a sheep. From the west of Ireland, eyeing up ewes and such.
Is that like Babar from the French children's books?
That's from the Barba Papa, Papa Papa Papa, Barba Papa. Do you remember that cartoon? Papa Papa Papa. Yeah. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. What?
Ba 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 ba.
I don't know what to do.
Genius, I tell you. You know, it's like, you know, yeah. The guy is genius.
Wow. Well, I'm definitely buying the front row seats to that. I'm definitely buying the tickets to that. And when do you expect this madness to be released?
The picture's going to be done quite soon, and so we'll probably debut festivals early next year, and then theatrical release in the summer or spring
the
next
summer
year.
Summer of 2013. Yeah. Fantastic calendar. Yeah, killed. After the whole world has fallen in on itself, yes. Exactly. The only one thing remaining will be a copy of this fucking shit. Yes, okay. Okay.
Three dimension.
Wow. Interesting. That was very, very disturbing. I really need a. Wow. Well,
Greg, I love being at your lounge. Thank you. Your lounge has been fantastic.
Absolute pleasure, especially more for you than for us. Certainly, much more of a pleasure for you. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for coming over. And we look forward to looking at the local listings for. No regret. Toi? Je ne regrette.
cinemaepoch.com.
Wow, nice one.
I know, I've recovered.
Yeah, yeah, recovered from yourself.
I like Cinema
Anime. And we'll all be looking for No Regrets or / Last Concerto, and we'll definitely be on the lookout for that movie. Okay, so that's the closing of our show. Thank you so much, Mr. Hatanaka. Thank you, Hudson. You are relieved of your duties for the evening?
Well, not quite, actually. He's had his share of drinking for his wages, so he can forget about
money. Exactly. Actually, we're just going to continue on here and just banter as the air goes down.
Let's just stay on the air as the air goes down.
Exactly, yeah.
And, I have some friends coming by, so it'll be very interesting.
Oh, you do? Who are they?
Yes. Well,
your dearest Aunt Agatha?
No. I told you about those girls. Never mind. Let's move on. So, they'll be here. You'll enjoy them.
Here they are.
Yeah. See ya.
Two more, please, Hudson. Thank you.